From NPR News, it's All Things Considered. I'm Linda Wertheimer. 60 years ago today, it stopped being a crime to play Stardust on the radio. That song, and something like 2 million others, had been contraband goods on network radio for 10 months. The ban wasn't about dirty or offensive lyrics. It was about money and who would make it writing and publishing American songs. Critic John McDonough explains why the battle 6 decades ago between the nation's big music publishers changed American music forever.
The most performed songwriter of 1941 on the radio was not Cole Porter or Johnny Mercer.
An old Stephen Foster melody, Jeannie with the Light Brown Hair.
More bands tried more ways to make Jeannie with the Light Brown Hair sound contemporary than at any time since the Civil War. That and a drawer full of other public domain tunes became the K-rations in a war over who would control popular music. On one side was the American Society of Composers, Authors, and Publishers, or ASCAP. For 26 years, it had been collecting performance royalties for its members, who by 1941 included every important songwriter in America. A major part of those royalties came from the licensing fees ASCAP charged network radio to broadcast its music. When ASCAP demanded still larger fees in 1939, the networks refused. They set up their own licensing unit to break the ASCAP monopoly. It was called Broadcast Music Incorporated, or BMI. In the beginning, BMI was cash rich but song poor. As a stopgap, it flooded band leaders with new swing arrangements of old public domain melodies.
Here's another of his modern tune treatments now called Sleep in the Deep.
But the need was for new songs, so practically any aspiring writer or publisher who had ever been ignored by ASCAP, and there were many, was immediately welcomed into BMI. It went into 1941 with 52 publishers and a catalog of 36,000 songs, most of them terrible. Many thought BMI meant Bad Music Incorporated.
Oink, oink.
Biggly, wiggy, biggy.
Oink, oink.
Boogly, boogie, boogie.
Oink, 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 oink.
The boogly, woogly, piggly, wiggly, oink, oink.
One of the biggest sources of music ASCAP had ignored came from Mexico and South America. So BMI went after it with a vengeance. Suddenly, the American hit parade came alive with wonderful new melodies from Latin America. Artie Shaw led the way with Frenesi. The elders of ASCAP watched all this with an arrogant disregard. If the radio networks could survive without Gershwin in Berlin, let them try. It would teach them a good lesson.
ASCAP on parade!
To make sure the lesson got through, ASCAP turned to independent stations not part of the network boycott. In a syndicated series of broadcasts, ASCAP told America it was a war between freedom and a musical police state of jackbooted network bullies.
Good evening. In 1940, a small group of men decided what would be good for America to hear. In spite of the fact that radio stations are assumed to be operated in the public interest, this group decided to ignore what is laughingly called public demand. And this is what happened.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday.
Stop! Happy birthday to you by Mildred and Patty Hill. You can't play that. Stop! Stars and Stripes Forever by John Philip Sousa. You can't play that!
But in the end, the joke would be on ASCAP. By underestimating the appeal of music outside the New York-Hollywood axis, ASCAP made a nearly fatal mistake. Between January and October in 1941, it made BMI a monopoly by default. With exclusive access to the air and no competition from ASCAP, BMI climbed to its feet and began to grow. The boycott ended on October 29th. The details aren't important now, but what is important is that new sources of pop music were opened up and jump-started. BMI courted small-time hillbilly writers and publishers.
I was dancing with my darling, to the Tennessee Waltz when an old friend I happened to see.
BMI subsidized small blues labels like Atlantic and Chess and set up the publishing subsidiaries that would soon make them the power behind rhythm and blues and rock and roll.
Maybelline, why can't you be true? Oh, Maybelline.
Wow, bum, loom, bum, 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 toot-a-boo. Oh, hoo. Toot-a-boo.
When rock and roll swept the country in the 1950s, nearly all the hits bore the BMI imprint. ASCAP accused it of vandalizing American music. Others saw BMI as liberating it. Both were probably right. If bad music was to drive good music out of circulation, at least it would be by the free choice of a new generation. By 1964, BMI's share of hits outstripped ASCAP's 4-1. Today, the old ASCAP BMI contrasts are pretty well gone. Prince, Bon Jovi, and Aerosmith are all ASCAP. Poison, Pink Floyd, and Motley Crue are BMI. For better or for worse, the door to it all swung open 60 years ago when BMI challenged ASCAP and America started singing a different tune.
I can look at you, tell you don't love me no more. I believe you're doing me wrong, and now I know.
Critic John McDonough lives in Chicago.
The more I work, the faster my money goes. I said shake, round and roll. 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 Well, you never do nothing to save your dog.